The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, everybody? Another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, a fantastic show for you tonight. Listen, they're all fantastic, at least to me. We got a craft beer guest that will be joining me this hour and some news and notes to get to. Two segments of that, of course. But first, how can you follow me? Very easy on Twitter, at Al Gattulo. Instagram, at Gattulo, GATTULLO. Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast. Via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. And don't forget iTunes and Google Play. You just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast, and you can find all the shows on those two platforms. The first single from the record company's 2018 studio album, All of This Life, that's called Life to Fix. What a great tune. It's a three-piece set, guitar, bass, and drums. I have got to see these guys in October. They're going to be in town in October with my buddy Mark. He's the one who turned me on to them. They are fantastic. Great stuff. I know they were featured on another radio station on Outside the Box a couple of weeks ago. Definitely want to check them out. The Record Company, if you're looking for something funky, cool, blues, kind of a little jazzy, definitely something that you want to check out. The Record Company, real good stuff. And they record, from what I understood from the interview, their first album, they basically recorded in their house and put it out. So that's pretty cool. It's a unique sound. You definitely want to check it out. Now, my guest tonight on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer, Brett Bullock. He's the head brewer, owner of Screamin' Hill Brewery out of Cream Ridge, New Jersey. He's going to join me about 20 minutes from now. We've talked to Brett before. Actually, we talked to him during the first year that this program was on. Haven't had him back on since. And was down at the farm a couple of weeks ago. I was going to a graduation party at my aunt's house, who also lives in Cream Ridge. She lives not too far from the farm. And Brett was there. We had a nice little conversation. I was picking up some beer there because he only distributes his beer at the farm, whether it's in growler form or in cans. He now has some of his beers in cans. The one that I picked up was the Wheat Did You Say, which I reviewed on last week's program, which is their one of their popular IPAs. It's a low ABV, about 5.5%, but very easy drinking and good, and Brett does a fantastic job. So when we last talked to Brett, he was at about, I think, 50 or 60% of the ingredients on the farm were being used in the beer, and he was hoping within, you know, a year and a half, 2 years of the brewery being started, that he would be at as close to 100% as he can. So we'll check in with him about that, what beers he has coming out in the near future, plans to expand, et cetera, et cetera. This is a great little farm, Bullock Farms, which is where Screamin' Hill Brewery is located. It's right past Great Adventure. If you're if you know where Six Flags Great Adventure is in Jackson, New Jersey, go right past Six Flags. Don't go in. Just go down. Continue down that road. The first right that you can make, you make the right. You follow that along, you'll pass a horse farm. Get past the horse farm, you'll see a cemetery on your right-hand side. You make the right, and the farm is right there. You can't miss it. It's an enormous farm. They do a great job with pumpkin picking, and a fantastic pumpkin patch. They do Christmas trees as well. And when the season ramps up, obviously in the fall, they have fresh vegetables and stuff that they have for sale, et cetera, things to do for the kids. So it is definitely something to look at. They're only open, the brewery's only open on Fridays and Saturdays. So definitely if you want to go pick pumpkins, you definitely want to do it on a Saturday because afterwards you can go stop and have a beer at Screamin' Hill Brewery. But we'll get to that in about 18 or so minutes from now. News and notes, though, lots of stuff going on with not only in the state of New Jersey but nationally as well. But one that is very important that I think if you want to support the military and if you're looking to support veterans, This is great. Backward Flag Brewing out of Forked River, New Jersey. They have announced a Forward Assault Can Series. They started canning their beer, this particular beer, back on June the 18th. There's going to be a special can release scheduled for July 6th, a couple of days after 4th of July, which is the 6th would be the Friday, so two Fridays from now. The Forward Assault Series, it's a project with the purpose of raising awareness of the many amazing organizations that exist within the mission to help veterans move forward. Backward Flag works with these groups and individuals in designing a unique recipe that is symbolic of their organization or cause. Portion of all proceeds from the several Forward Assault releases will be donated to the respective charities chosen by the collaborative partners. The first can in the series is Something Missing. It's a unique IPA featuring zero IBUs. Kind of cool. Something's Missing was inspired and brewed in collaboration with Rory Hamill. Rory lost his leg while serving as a Marine in Afghanistan and is an activist for veterans' causes. Rory has chosen the We Defy Foundation as the benefiting charity of this release. Through Brazilian jiu-jitsu and fitness training, the We Defy Foundation provides combat veterans suffering from life-disabling injuries and or PTSD a long-term means to overcome their challenges. That is awesome. So if you're looking for a good beer and a great organization to support a charity, the We Defy Foundation, you definitely want to get down to Backward Flag on July 6th when they release this can. Pick up a couple six-packs or whatever, and know that part of your money is going to a great cause. It's available in four packs of 16-ounce cans through retailers and at Backward Flag Brewing on July 6th. So even if you make a purchase in the store, a portion of the proceeds of that are going to go towards that organization, the We Defy Foundation, which is pretty awesome. So kudos to Rory. Thank you for your service, sir. And again, great things that are happening in the state of New Jersey when it comes to beer. Nationally, though, the next release in Firestone Walker's Lupinic Distortion IPA series, a bold new look, doubles down on the mantra of flavors through hops. This is a press release from Firestone Walker. This is the 10th release of Lupinic Distortion, as brewmaster Matt Brindelson has said. We're magnifying what this series is all about. This latest release features a cross-continental hop blend that just pops with amazing fruit flavors, and it comes with a fresh package reminding everyone that these flavors are derived solely through hops. Number 10, Lupinic Distortion number 10, has begun shipping to all of the markets that Firestone Walker is in. Can't wait to try this one. I love Firestone Walker beer. They are one of the best independent beers out there in the country. Stone is great. Coronado's great in California. There's a lot of good breweries in California, but Firestone Walker simply nails it time after time after time. I mean, honestly, they are great beers. You definitely want to check them out. Now, Lupinic Distortion, of course, not a single beer. It's an ongoing series of beers that rotates roughly every 120 days. Number 10 features a blend of seven hops from all over the Pacific Northwest, Germany, and Australia. The hops, according to Firestone Walker, combine to present fruity aromas and flavors of mango creamsicle, peach ring, and ruby grapefruit. So that is very cool. So it's out now. It is being distributed to its various distributors. You definitely want to check that out if you could pick that up. The Lupinic Distortion number 10 from Firestone Walker. Kudos to those guys out in Paso Robles, California, which is sort of not in the middle of the state, but is. It's above Los Angeles, below San Francisco. It's one of those bucket list trips I have to make one of these days. And then Oscar Blues is releasing a very limited amount of bourbon barrel-aged Mocha 1050 Imperial Stout on July 7th, which is a Saturday and happens to be a National Chocolate Day, at the Oscar Blues Boulder, Longmont, and Brevard Taproom locations. This 10-age fitty was massively doused with unsweetened pure liquid cacao, made by our friends at Cholaca, and then dosed with Hot Box Roasters cold brew from Mexican coffee beans. They're going to do numbered wristbands at each of these locations in Boulder, Longmont, and Brevard Taprooms only, and that's the only place that you can get them. They'll be handed out at 9:30 in the morning. A line could form earlier. Each wristband will have a number on it, and the number matters. Apparently, beers will be sold in the order according to the number system. They're coming out in, each person may purchase up to five cans of BA Mocha 1050 19.2-ounce cans. They come in 12-count cases, and if there are any cans left at 3 p.m. both Mountain and Eastern times, a no-limit rule will kick in, and you'll be able to buy as much as you want. The pricing on these beers, you'll be able to get, a limited amount will be available on draft, 10 ounces at a time. You will not be able to fill a crawler or growler with this. The pricing for a 4 ounce pour on draft is $4. 10 ounce pour is $10, and then of course one 19.2 ounce can of Mocha BA 1050 is $15. A case of the 1050 will run you $180. But again, you can only get them at the Longmont, Boulder, and Brevard, North Carolina locations. The other two locations, of course, for Oscar Blues, located in Colorado. So definitely, if you want to, if you're a big fan of that beer, you definitely want to pick that up and check it out. And finally, before we take a break, the White Sox and Budweiser have made a marketing deal official. The White Sox announcing a multi-year deal with Anheuser-Busch last week that gives the nation's largest beer company a long-term presence with the White Sox, a guaranteed rate. Field this from Josh Knoll, who is writes beer for the Chicago Tribune, who we had on a few weeks ago. Which, by the way, I finally got a chance to finish his book. Josh, tremendous job on the book. If you wanted a history about craft beer and Goose Island and how it became to be that Goose Island sold to Anheuser-Busch, but also other craft breweries that sold as well, definitely pick up Josh's book. It is fantastic. We'll give it a plug later on in the program and, of course, as we move forward. Terms of the deal were not released. The announcement has ended the White Sox long-term relationship with Miller Brewing. It ended after 30 years before the 2017 season, so you're going to see a lot more Bud and Bud Light at the White Sox, where the White Sox play in Chicago. You're also going to see a lot more Goose Island. You're already seeing it now. They have Goose Island as a sign on the outfield wall, and they're getting other stuff done. Now, the other interesting thing was that Revolution Brewing had a presence inside White Sox Stadium. They had sponsored, let me see if I get this right here on the piece. Trying to find it here in the story. I remember, they have dozens of smaller independent-owned craft breweries, according to Josh, including Revolution Brewing. They sponsor a left-field tap room, and apparently that deal will not expire at the end of this season and actually expires the following season, so it'll be interesting to see what happens if Revolution decides to re-up there. They've done a great job with that tap room there from all reports. We'd like to see that continue, but obviously now with AB InBev in there, who knows? They may be pushing Revolution out the door. I hope that does not happen. Now, when we come back after a short break, some more news for you, including pets being allowed at New Jersey breweries. Could happen. Beer and cider-flavored ice cream in New York. Could happen. We'll talk about those topics and some more after the break. This is the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer.
AM 970 The Answer.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. Every Army National Guard member serves not only to protect the nation, but also their local communities, so they each have a stake in the security and well-being of the neighborhoods where they live and work. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. Since the early days of our republic, the Army National Guard has continued its timeless commitment to guarantee peace and security for all Americans, a proud legacy which has endured for nearly four centuries. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. Selfless service, it's what inspires the men and women of the Army National Guard to be part of something greater than themselves. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the New York Army National Guard. Aired by the New York State Broadcasters Association and this station.
For our Ask the Lawyer friends and listeners, you can attend any of Connors and Sullivan's free seminars on elder law, Medicaid, wills, and estate planning, and more.
Yes, it's all free and all close to you. So come to Connors and Sullivan's free seminars.
On Monday, June 25th at the 3 West Club, 3 West 51st Street in Midtown Manhattan at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. And on Tuesday, June 26th at Bocelli's Ristorante, 1250 Highland Boulevard in Grasmere, Staten Island at 11 a.m., 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Can't go to any Connors and Sullivan's free seminars? Then call Connors and Sullivan at 718-238-6500 for your own free office appointment.
Make an educated decision on your estate and family legal solutions today. Just call Connors and Sullivan at 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500 or go to connorsandsullivan.com. Connors and Sullivan. Plan now for later.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Al Cattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Follow me on social media. So easy. On Twitter, at Al Cattullo. Instagram, at Cattullo. That's G-A-T-T-U-L-L-O. Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast. Via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. Don't forget iTunes and Google Play. Just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You can find all the shows on those two platforms. My guest tonight on the Al Cattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer, Brett Bullock, the head brewer owner of Screamin' Hill Brewery out of Cream Ridge, New Jersey, will join me. That's going to happen about 10 minutes from now. It was a great interview I had with Brett earlier this week discussing the farm, beers that are being canned right now, what's coming up in the future, plans for expansion, et cetera, and things of that nature. So we will definitely it was a good interview, and it's a great brewery, farm fresh beer. It really doesn't get much better than that. We'll talk to Brett about 10 minutes from now. So some more news and notes to get to, some stuff from Dogfish Head that has come out over the last several weeks. So just in time for July 4th, Dogfish Head has announced the release of the Off-Center Your Summer Pack. It is an assortment of canned goodness, all wrapped up in a variety 12-pack that features cans of 60-Minute IPA, Sequench Ale, Lupu Luau IPA, and Namaste White. In addition to containing a broad selection of distinct beers, the Off-Center Your Summer Pack, get this, converts into a functional cooler. All you have to do is open it and add ice. Each of these 12 packs includes a custom Dogfish Head koozie can cooler and offers consumers the chance to win a trip to coastal Delaware for a once-in-a-lifetime Dogfish Head experience. Winners get to hang out at Dogfish Head's Harborfront Hotel and Rebooth Brew Pub, but they will also be lending a hand at the brewery, helping prepare the pure culinary ingredients that go into these four delicious beers. That's cool. So it's a 12-pack of beer that converts into a cooler, so you're basically saving the environment a little bit. You add ice, comes with a koozie, keep the beers cold while you're drinking them. Obviously, there's only one, so if you have friends, they got to bring their own koozie or supply them with your own. And then you get a chance to win a trip to the brewery. This is a place I have to get to. My wife and I have been kind of talking about doing a Delaware-Baltimore trip. We're going to have to do this because I definitely want to visit the brewery, but I also want to visit the hotel. It's a very cool scene from what I've heard, so I definitely want to get down there. So, again, 60-Minute IPA, Sequench Ale, Luau IPA, and the Namaste White will be included in the 12-pack, and, again, it converts into a cooler. That is super cool. One of the Dogfish Head news as well that happened, this was last week, they have added Liquid Truth Serum to their year-round lineup. They're bringing back this popular IPA in 16-ounce cans, and they are also, let's see, this is out, it's they went from a 6-pack 12-ounce bottles to a 4-pack 16-ounce cans. This should be out in stores now or by next week at the very earliest, or the very latest, excuse me. This is a 7% ABV, 65 IBU. And then later in June, they are also releasing Fruitful Fort, a twist on the beloved Fort. It's brewed with raspberries, blackberries, boysenberries, and elderberries. It is a Belgian ale that clocks in at between 15 and 18% ABV. I had their last Fort beer, and it was kind of weird. I think I opened it too early. I think that's one of those ones where you need to buy it and let it age. Let it sit for a little bit and see how the flavors progress as they go. I don't think it's really the right idea to be opening that beer right away. I think that, again, that's one of those that you just kind of, you buy it and you let it sit for a little bit and then drink it. But we'll see. So good things from Dogfish Head. Our friends from Heavy Seas sent this over to us. The Uncharted Water Series by Heavy Seas Beers, will soon welcome the first new beer of this year, Grand Cru. It's a red wine, barrel-aged Belgian amber Grand Cru. The limited release available in July in all states where Heavy Seas Beer is distributed. And also for 2018, the Uncharted Water Series will no longer be in 22-ounce bottles. It'll only be available in 4-packs of 12-ounce bottles. It is an 8.5% ABV. It's an amber-colored Belgian-style Grand Cru. Aromas of toast, biscuit, stone fruit, and spice. Medium to light-bodied. Brewed with six different Belgian malts. And there, it's been sitting barrel-aged, 8 months of Pinot Noir, wine barrel aging. So this is something interesting. I have to get a sample of this from the folks at Heavy Seas. I have to check that out. I do like my Belgian beers. When I'm really in the mood for Belgians, I kind of go on a tear with tasting different Belgian beers. So I'm excited about that and can't wait to try that new offering from the good folks at Heavy Seas. Something interesting that may impact Sand City Brewing out of Long Island. The Village of Northport earlier this week has set up a public hearing to discuss a proposal to regulate the establishment and operation of craft beer breweries. Officials said the law would add a chapter to the zoning code with specific rules for breweries, making it the first microbrewery code on Long Island. The proposal addresses the strains that breweries create on the village's sewer system. This is from Trustee Ian Milligan. The board recently became aware of the effects breweries have on sewage after the opening of Northport's first microbrewery in 2015. That would be Sand City Brewing. The yeast-filled waste produced by the brewery has altered the breakdown of human waste in the water plant, making it more expensive for the village to process waste. This, again, from Trustee Ian Milligan. And Mayor Damon McMullen said, "We're not looking to hurt any businesses. We are looking to protect the taxpayers. Under the new law, breweries would need to install an equalization tank to effectively reduce the impacts of waste production and pay a surcharge to cover the excess cost for the sewage treatment facility to dispose of solid and liquid waste. The law would also give the village the right to inspect any treatment facilities and obtain waste samples to prevent excess waste production. In addition, breweries would need to ensure any tasting and retail is conducted indoors and that no noxious fumes or odors escape from the premises." Now, that last one there about the noxious fumes or odors, I don't know how you're going to do that. Are you going to prevent the smell of hops and stuff from venting to the outdoors? Where are they going to be able to vent it to? Underground? I don't really understand that. I get the whole ensuring any tasting and retailing is conducted indoors, which probably means if they want to set up something outside, a little bit of a beer garden or whatever, they're going to be restricted to doing that. Board members have worked with officials and engineers from other communities who have more experience with brewery management to come up with the proposal. Milligan said it would ultimately benefit the brewers since the proposal would help them with current zoning restrictions. "We've worked hard to come up with a proposal that we think is fair. The hearing is set for July 17th at 6:30. Let's hope this doesn't impact Sand City too much. There had been issues with Sand City. They had been, there was some different things that were going on earlier in the year. Obviously, when they released their cans, they have a small space. People are lining up outside. They're trying to get their beer or whatever. And there's bottle sharing and people are drinking publicly. They don't want that to happen. It's a small village. That part of it I get. This other part of regulating the waste that comes out of the brewery, this is something that obviously Sand City is going to have to retrofit, and if another brewery comes in, they're going to have to spend money to do that. But obviously that would be built into their budget. How this affects Sand City, I don't know, but it's a story that we will continue to follow, and obviously the hearing is set for mid-July, so we'll follow up later on in July to find out what's going on there. It'll be interesting. We'll see what happens there. But hopefully this does not, this is just a small bump in the road for Sand City, and they're able to do these things. Obviously, they're not going to have people being able to drink outside if this passes. So that's something that you definitely have to look at. Now, apparently beer and hard cider flavored ice cream will be coming to a store near you. The State Assembly in New York had approved a measure that allows beer and hard cider to be legally infused into ice cream. It was passed by the Senate last week. It has to be signed by Governor Cuomo. The State Assembly and Senate have wrapped up. They have left their legislative session. So we're not sure if the bill will be signed by Governor Cuomo. Back in 2008, state lawmakers had legalized wine ice cream. Beer and hard cider flavored ice cream had not been legalized. We shall see what happens. We will follow up with that next week. If the governor does sign that budget, and if it is in the budget and they are able to get that passed, that would be good news for the good folks in New York City. And then finally, Stone, is their Fear Movie Lions double IPA, is now going to be a year-round offering. This is a new double IPA. I've had it. It is fantastic. I really enjoy it. It was only going to be a limited release, but now it will be a Stone Brewing's Richmond, Virginia location. It is their first year-round release, currently exclusive to the East Coast, so you can only get it here in the East. Can't get it in the West, but this will be a full-time beer that will be available in 16-ounce cans and on draft. Again, it'll be brewed only in Richmond, Virginia, and year-round distribution will be focused exclusively across the Eastern Seaboard. It's an 8.5% ABV, 60 IBU. Has that quick bite, but they want you to drink it, of course, within 120 days. So good stuff from the folks from Stone. I really enjoy this a lot. And again, if you're a fan of Stone and you're out on the West Coast and you're trying to get this beer, you're not going to be able to get it unless you come to the East Coast. When we come back after a short break, Brett Bullock, the head brewer owner of Screamin' Hill Brewery out of Cream Ridge, New Jersey, is going to join me. And that happens next on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
It's mostly cloudy, 64 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. There's about to be a really foul smell in New York City, and a blooming flower is the unlikely source. James Flippin has the malodorous details.
Although scientists know it as the Titan arum, most know it as the corpse flower. And that's because when it blooms, it pulses out a bad smell every minute or so, with some comparing it to rotting meat or, as the name implies, a dead body. You can find it at the New York Botanical Garden, located in the Bronx. It's the fourth such flower to bloom there, dating back to the late 1930s. It only blooms about every 10 years, so you'll want to check it out. Or for those of us with a more sensitive sense of smell, maybe not. James Flippin, NBC News Radio, New York.
Police are investigating after a man was stabbed to death in his own driveway in Jamaica, Queens. Cops say the man, identified as 70-year-old George Bartoli, was found face down in his driveway on 104th Avenue at around 10 last night. He had stab wounds to the neck. Cops say they are investigating it as a domestic violence incident. A knife was reportedly found not far from the home. In sports, it's the Dodgers 1 and the Mets 1. They're in the top of the third at Citi Field. The Yankees lost again. They were shut out by Tampa Bay 4-0. And in Major League Soccer, very late in the second half, the Red Bulls leading FC Dallas 3-0. Time to check the traffic. 15 at the outbound Holland Tunnel. The Lincoln looking good either way. And now on the outbound lower level of the George Washington Bridge, a multi-vehicle crash blocking the left lane underneath the apartments. On the Garden State Parkway through Clifton, a crash in the right lane northbound after exit 154. You now know how not to go. The weather forecast. For tonight, cloudy, showers and storms tapering off, low 65 to 70. And then on Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy. Afternoon showers and storms, high of 85. Monday, partly to mostly sunny, 85. Sunny, breezy Tuesday, high of 80 degrees. I'm Dave Benning on AM 970, The Answer.
It's summertime, and that means weekends at the Jersey Shore. But don't fear, Staten Islanders. You won't be far from your precious Danino's Thin Crust Pizza. Visit Danino's in Brick, New Jersey, when you're at the shore for delicious thin crust pizza that made Danino's famous. All fresh ingredients all the time. Try Danino's Classic Cheese Pie, or maybe the Bacon Buffalo Chicken and Ranch Pie. How about a Danino's crowd favorite, the Assoluta Pie, Ricotta, fresh mozzarella, seasoned arugula, and add fresh prosciutto for a finishing touch. Unbelievable. And no matter what you choose, you won't be disappointed. Danino's has been a landmark on Staten Island since 1937, but they've also been bringing great thin crust pizza to New Jersey for many years now, with locations in both Brick and Aberdeen. And most recently, they're bringing that special and consistent taste of Danino's to Manhattan's Greenwich Village. Visit their website for all locations. That's Danino's.com, D-E-N-I-N-O-S.com. Get ready for the best pizza experience of your life, Danino's.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. Thousands of doctors, health specialists, and professionals recommend Balance of Nature as a way of improving their health. Listen to a few unsolicited success stories from doctors that use Balance of Nature as well.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants. I take Balance of Nature because I know, I've seen it in my lab, and I know that it works. I've seen the immune response increase, I've seen your DNA repair capacity increase, and I've seen DNA protection. And that, to me, as a scientist, rings so true.
When you call, use discount code THEANSWER, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code THEANSWER.
Oh, yeah. Well, Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. This is a band I have got to go and see. They're playing in New York in October. The Record Company, they got a new album out. I am definitely going to check them out. Me and my boy Mark have to head into the city for this one. Follow me on Twitter at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo, GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. Now, my guest on the cast was on the program in our first year of operation, and I am so looking forward to chatting with him again. I ran into him a couple weeks ago at the brewery. He's the owner and operator of a beautiful farm brewery in Cream Ridge, New Jersey. Now, not only do they have beer, but great pumpkins, Christmas trees. This is just an awesome farm. If you're looking for a day to just go and hang out with the family and have some fun, fall time, summer, spring, whatever, it's great. But the best part is, they got beer on the farm, and it's right past Six Flags in Jackson, New Jersey. He makes great, fresh farm ingredient beer. Their slogan, from our fields to your glass. Enough said. ScreaminHill.com. Leave off the G there. It's S-C-R-E-A-M-I-N, Hill.com. That's the website for more information and the hours of when the brewery is in operation. Let me welcome back Brett Bullock to the Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Brett, how are you?
I'm doing great, Al. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Now, Brett, when we last spoke over a year ago, you were well on the way to making the brewery as close to 100% sustainable as possible. How far have you gotten as of this year?
We're pretty close. There's some beers are 100% grown on the farm. Barley, wheat, rye, hops. Our farmhouse ale is one of those. That one is fermented in a fooder, and it's proudly brewed with all ingredients grown right here on the farm. And the rest of our beers were up to anywhere from 80 to 100% is grown on the farm here, including, like I said, grain. We grow 7 varieties of hops. We grow lots of different fruits and vegetables on a small scale that end up in seasonal beers. So we keep adding crops to it all the time.
Especially your pumpkin beers. Obviously, they're from the pumpkins from the farm themselves.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's about 150 pounds of pumpkin in every batch.
Wow.
It's a long process.
That is awesome. And folks, I have to tell you, if you go down there during pumpkin season, Bullock Farms, has the most unique pumpkins I've ever seen. It's not just orange pumpkins. There's white, there's green, there's all these different shapes and sizes. They take you on a little tour, you know, through the farm while you're heading out to the pumpkin patch. It is definitely well worth it. And if you go on a Friday or Saturday when you come back, stop at the brewery for a beer or two. Believe me, it is worth the trip. Now, you're on to the third beer that you are canning, Wheat Did You Say, which is one of your IPAs. What was the first that you decided to can, and why that particular beer to start and not say an IPA?
The first one we brewed was our pumpkin ale,
right.
And then we've done a couple of IPAs since then. This Wheat Did You Say IPA has just become a really, really popular beer. It just flies in the tap room, and so we figured we'd brew again another batch just specifically for cans. So we're going to start to try doing that more often and have some of the more really popular beers and cans available to go, because other than that, we just do growlers.
Right.
And so the cans add kind of another nice product line to the mix.
We're talking with Brett Bullock, the owner-operator of Screamin' Hill Brewery, located in beautiful Cream Ridge, New Jersey. Screamin' Hill, leave the G off on Screamin' there, .com is the website for more information here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. So I wanted to talk to you about that, Brett. I'm finding a lot more breweries are going the canning route, and even using crowlers, which seem to be very popular as opposed to growlers. Obviously, you have not started using crowlers yet. Are crowlers not cost-effective for a brewery of your size?
You know, we looked into it a couple of years ago and just decided to stay with growlers, only because we just have a really good growler business. Our customers seem to love the idea of the growlers,
okay.
And we never really had a complaint about it not lasting long enough. Everybody always says, well, it's not going to last that long anyway, so it'll be gone in a few days. And so we just kind of never saw enough of a need for us to go that route. We kind of just planned on going straight to cans once we got to that production level where we could do that. So we kind of just decided it wasn't the right thing for us.
And are you doing the canning yourself, or is it a mobile operation that comes in?
Mobile operation.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're having somebody come in. The bottling we do ourselves. We do some bottling of specialty beers, like barrel-aged beers. We're actually bottling our farmhouse ale in the next few weeks, which we're really excited about.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Stuff we do in-house. The rest of it's mobile.
Yeah, because obviously for space limitations, if you've been to the brewery, the actual barn in which they serve the beer is very small. So obviously, to have a canning operation like that, you'd require a bit more size, and you don't want to do that yet. On the property. The other issue that I'm finding, Brett, down in South Jersey, some municipalities placing restrictions on a lot of different things with the tasting rooms. No pets, no food trucks, food can't be delivered, etc. Are you encountering any of that from the town of Cream Ridge or from the state itself?
We haven't encountered anything from our town. Our town has been pretty supportive of us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really do a lot of that stuff. We just kind of keep it bare bones, so we really haven't tried to do much stuff to cause anybody to come in and tell us to stop. We try to keep it kind of basic. We let people bring in food, but we don't really do much food trucks. We do it seasonally when we have pumpkin picking open,
right.
But specifically for the brewery, we just haven't done that. But we're really fortunate to have a municipality that likes having us here and is is happy that we're here. So we haven't really had any problems locally, which is very nice.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, a couple of weeks ago when I stopped by the brewery, I'm heading over to my aunt's house, who lives literally, 5 minutes away. And I said, I'm driving my mom, and I have my wife in the car and my son. And I said to my mom, I said, look, we have to make a stop at the brewery here because I want to pick up some of the cans of wheat. Did you say? And of course, my mom looks at me at 80 years old, looking at me like, what do you need to get beer for? Why are you going to a farm to get beer? And I'm like, Mom, you don't understand. It's really good. And I need to stop, and I'm here. And so I want to stop. And so she's in the car with my wife and my son. And I get out, and she's yelling at me like, don't collapse while you're walking across the farm there to get your beer. She's constantly ribbing me. But I have to tell you, it is so worth the trip. And when I'm down in the area and it's a Friday night or a Saturday, I have to come by and stop by the brewery because, really, you guys do fantastic stuff. And kudos to you and your staff there. You're doing a great job. We're talking with Brett Bullock, the owner-operator of Screaming Hill Brewery, located in beautiful Cream Ridge, New Jersey, on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. So, Brett, you mentioned that the farmhouse ale, I guess, is going to be coming out in bottle very soon. What other beers are going to be coming out of the tanks in the near future?
We've got a few favorites coming back. Our tap list rotates a lot, so beers tend to kind of go away and come back. We've got our Desperado IPA is coming back soon, which is kind of our flagship IPA. We have another IPA called Screaming Magnolia coming out. I'm excited about our summer seasonal, which we call Heirloom Ale. That one won't be brewed for probably another month. We use heirloom tomatoes that I grow on the farm in addition to basil and sea salt. So it's a really refreshing, kind of weird sounding, but very well balanced summer seasonal. We are working on a few other summer beers, some more mixed fermentation stuff. We've got a lot of stuff in the works that are kind of long term. We've got some sours that we've been working on for about a year and a half that we're hoping to start releasing later this year in limited quantities. So a lot of new stuff coming out that we're really excited about.
You piqued my curiosity here with the heirloom tomatoes and the basil. What is this type of beer? Is it a goza? Is it just an ale?
It's not technically a goza because it's just normal Saccharomyces fermentation. There's no wild stuff in there. It's a really subtle addition of sea salt, and it just kind of balances it. You don't really get any one of those ingredients coming at you. It just kind of balances together nicely to make this really oddly refreshing summer beer.
And it doesn't look like tomato juice or a Bloody Mary.
No, not at all. No.
When you said that at first, tomatoes and basil, I'm going, is he making sauce or is he making beer?
I'll be honest, we've tried it a few times and it didn't turn out, but this last batch we brewed was we were really, really pleased with, so we're excited to do that one again.
That is awesome. And obviously to make money is obviously a nice thing to support the farm and everything else is an ancillary part of the farm, but it's got to be really cool to be able to play with ingredients like that, especially that you're growing them at the farm, and then for the fruit or vegetables to come to fruition the way it does, and it comes out the way you want it to taste, that's got to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is. And the heirloom tomatoes for me was cool because I had a little heirloom tomato business going that I started when I came back to work on the farm. I used to grow like 50, 60 different kinds of heirloom tomatoes, and I sold them wholesale to a bunch of restaurants and grocery stores locally, and kind of had to give it up when the brewery took off, so it was cool to be able to combine that and bring that back into the beer, and that was a really cool one for me. I really enjoy that one.
Excellent. And now, last question for me, Brett. Any plans to expand the tasting room at all, or are you content to leave what you have as is?
No, we're working on an expansion. We have been working on it for quite a while. It's a very slow process. We'd like to build a new barn on the farm, you know, still right in the same farm, just in a different field. So it would be building a new structure from the ground up. So it's just taking a very long time to plan it because it is a pretty big project. But, yeah, our hope is to do that. We hope to be able to start making some progress very soon.
And any plans to expand the canning to put them in cans in the liquor stores and stuff, or do you want to just keep it farm centric?
It's probably just going to be on the farm until we can get enough volume to make that worthwhile. But for now, it's pretty much all we can handle just to keep it in house.
Gotcha.
So that's the current plan.
Excellent. My guest has been Brett Bullock, the owner operator of Screamin' Hill Brewery, located in beautiful Cream Ridge, New Jersey. Screamin' Hill.com. Leave off the G there as the website for more information. There's a list of hours and stuff. And, of course, visit the farm as well, Bullock Farms. There's lots of great stuff to do there. It is a lot of fun. It is definitely worth the trip. You're heading down to Six Flags Great Adventure anyway. Just take an extra 5-6 minutes to go down the road. It's the first right past Great Adventure. Take the road. You'll see the horse farm, and then you see a little cemetery. You hook a right. The farm is right there. It's a great place to go to. Brett, thanks so much for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Al. Great talking to you.
You got it. When we come back, Suds and Duds. It's all after a short break on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer.
Larry Elder.
The Larry Elder Show.
That wouldn't be Chuck Schumer in 2014, would it be?
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
I have a question. I've asked this before. It is a rhetorical question. Do you honestly believe if 80% of illegals turned citizens, turned voters, would likely vote Republican, we'd have this problem?
The Larry Elder Show. Weeknights at 7, right before Joe Walsh at 9 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. You may know me as a comic with a knack for punchlines, but today I have a serious message. Like me, you probably know a relative, a friend, or a coworker whose life has been upended by cancer. You yourself may be facing cancer like I did, but fighting cancer doesn't have to be done alone. At Trinitas Comprehensive Cancer Center in Elizabeth, dedicated and experienced oncologists and skilled nurses stand beside patients all the way, from diagnosis through treatment. The entire staff works together to devise the most effective range of treatment therapies for each and every patient. Cancer Care Navigators help patients manage all the physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of living with cancer. And in a caring, compassionate, and uplifting setting, Trinitas Comprehensive Cancer Center brings a comforting and targeted approach to cancer care. So take a moment to call the Trinitas Comprehensive Cancer Center at 908-994-8000 to get more information about cancer care delivered with the whole patient in mind. 908-994-8000.
Hi, this is Bill Martinez. Join us as we talk with the experts about the latest news, politics, issues of faith, the culture, and entertainment. It's all about us. It's all about the truth wherever it leads.
Bill Martinez live, Monday mornings at 12 a.m. on AM 970, The Answer.
Don't miss the new afternoon drive show, Cats at Night, with John Catsimatidis, Wednesdays at 5 p.m., exclusively on AM 970, The Answer. In the year of the cat.
Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo, that's GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AG Craft Beer Cast, via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. Don't forget, iTunes, Google Play. You just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You can download and listen to every show. We'll get to Suds and Duds in just a moment. A couple of other little news notes that I wanted to get to. And the New Jersey State Legislature having problems right now. They want to pass a budget. Governor Murphy does not want to pass their budget. He wants them to pass his budget. There's kind of a butting of the heads. So as of the time of this recording, which was Thursday morning, they had not passed a budget, and it didn't look like anything was going to happen. Now, that may have changed in the last 48 hours, but to be honest with you, probably not. So we may have an impasse in Trenton, and we may have a government shutdown next week if a budget does not get passed. But a couple of the laws that are trying to be passed, of legislation that's trying to be passed, Senator Mike Daugherty District 23 has introduced a bill that would allow dogs in sampling and tasting areas throughout New Jersey. Now, this is another one of these touchy subjects in New Jersey where some places were allowing dogs in the breweries, others were not. Some of them were allowing them outside in the patio area, not allowing them in the brewery. And then a lot of municipalities started cracking down on this. Last week, we touched on Egg Harbor City telling the people in the town that had breweries you couldn't have food trucks, even on private property, but that you could have a if you paid for a license, you could do it. And part of that reason, I think, was a little bit of bias from the mayor of that town, who owns a restaurant that apparently is not doing well. So now, this whole thing with the dogs now at breweries, a lot of people were up in arms about that. I don't have an issue with a dog in a brewery. As long as the dog is not in the area where they're actually making the beer, if the dog is out in the brewery where they're pouring it, there really isn't any risk of contamination. I mean, it's not as if the dog is licking the taps. Let's be honest with you. In a lot of places, I know the local place by my house, not a brewery, obviously, it's a restaurant. They do a yappy night once a week during the summertime, and they'll have dogs outside on the patio. They'll provide water for the dogs so that the dogs can stay hydrated. And it's a nice little thing. I don't have an issue with this at the breweries. So Senator Mike Daugherty has introduced a bill. This was in response after Chigmeister in Hackettstown was forced to no longer allow the dogs. This is a direct quote from Daugherty. We've heard from brew pub operators that many customers who stop in for a tasting have their dogs in tow, which creates conflicts with public health officials who don't like pets in establishments where food or drink is consumed. It's possible to meet the demands of customers without sacrificing the cleanliness we expect when we visit our microbreweries. And again, I think if you're not inside the physical brewery itself, I don't see why dogs can't be in the tasting room. As long as they're on a leash, the owner is keeping an eye on them. It's the same thing with kids in a brewery. I don't really have too much of an issue of small children being in a brewery with their parents because they want to get out for a little bit, but the parents have to be responsible enough to take care of those children. And I also think when it comes to the kids in breweries, if it's a Friday or a Saturday and it's particularly crowded, I think that's where the brewery needs to step in and say, look, you can't bring your kids, you know, at 8, 9 o'clock at night when the place is packed and we're trying to serve people. You want to bring them 2, 3 in the afternoon when it's not super crowded at certain times. That's one thing. But when it gets really crowded, then I have an issue with it. But getting back to the dogs. So in the legislation, dogs would be allowed to be in areas of licensed microbreweries where brewed products are consumed. However, dogs would not be allowed in areas where brewed products are made or areas where they risk contaminating clean equipment, glassware, or related articles in the area designated for the consumption of brewed products. Staff of the microbreweries would also not be allowed to have direct contact with dogs while working, and if they did, they would be required to wash their hands. This is simple. It's very simple. Why they have to have a law on the books to enforce this is ridiculous. It's common sense. And honestly, I think it's a waste of the legislature's time. But listen, let's get that law on the books so that, we can have a final definitive word on it here in New Jersey. And hopefully, you know, Governor Murphy and the state and the assembly pass a budget and this piece of legislation is in there. But really, folks, it's common sense. It really is a common sense bottom line. Of course, you're not going to have the dog go back there. And of course, the person who's working behind the bar who's pouring the beer, you touch the dog, you go and wash your hands. It's common sense, people. I mean, really, it's not that this is not that difficult. So let's hope that that happens. Another quick news note that I want to get to before we get to Suds and Duds. Funky Buddha releasing next week on June 30th their Triple Lindy Black Currant. It's a small batch series, a Belgian-style triple, complex blend of malts, 100% real sugar. It is a Pilsner-like in body and appearance, height and ABV of 9.3%. Black Currants balances the malty sweetness and Belgian esters with a tart, refreshing finish. This is from our good folks at Funky Buddha down in Florida. That's going to be released in the tap room next Saturday, June 30th. 22-ounce bottles go on sale for $13 with no purchasing limits as well. And then bottles and draft will also hit distribution following the brewery release. So good stuff from the folks at Funky Buddha. But again, you know, when we're micromanaging every single thing in terms of laws when it comes to breweries, it's ridiculous. It gets it really does end up getting overwhelming. So I really think that this is with the issue with the dogs, it's common sense. And look, and if you're offended by it, there's a dog there and you don't want to be there and you have allergies or whatever, all right, then maybe you got to come back another time, or maybe the brewery has to set up designated hours when you can. Let's say the brewery's open from noon to 8, okay? Let's say the first 2 hours the brewery's open, dog-friendly. The last, you know, 6 hours or whatever, not dog-friendly, or split it up 4 or 4. I don't know, but honestly, this is to me, it's not something that I think should be legislated, but there you go. Hopefully, though, to get a law in the books, then people can stop with this infighting. And don't get me started with the whole food trucks and food delivery things at breweries. It's ridiculous. I think this is just a play by the restaurant unions to try and extract more cash from brewery owners, because the microbrewery in New Jersey is becoming a success. It's making profits, and it's about small business, which, I hate to say it, and I don't mean to make this political, Governor Murphy's trying to kill here. I mean, honestly, I think he's trying to kill this. He's in bed with the unions, and I think he's trying to do everything he can to prevent these breweries from flourishing. But if I'm wrong, tell me so. I would love to have Governor Murphy on this program to talk about beer. Guaranteed he'll never show up on this program. Let's get to Suds and Duds. This is the segment where I discuss the various beers that I've had over the last week or so, and I'll tell you whether I like them or not. Started off with a Puff by Six Point Brewery, and forgive me, but I had been imbibing last Friday night at my son's, he was at his eighth grade dance, and this was afterwards. I posted this up on Untappd, and you can follow me there at Cthulhu, and I wrote The Magic Dragon, delicious. And it was. It was very good. Real nice IPA. Goes down real smooth. You definitely want to check out Puff from Six Point Brewery. I had a Whole Foods has these little restaurants, and they're various restaurants all over New Jersey, New York, you know, wherever a Whole Foods is. So my wife and I stopped at the Whole Foods in Metuchen, and they have a Mexican place. It's called Comida Fresca. And they have all these Lucha Libre wrestler pictures on the walls. They make these great street tacos with jalapenos in them. They're fantastic. But they also serve margaritas in there, and they serve local fresh beer. So one of the beers they had on tap from Wet Ticket Brewing, a Rahway Pale Ale. It went perfectly with my street tacos. Cut the heat from the jalapeno. It was excellent. Nice little place. Just really, really well done. We have one in the Clark Bar at our one in Clark, New Jersey. You know, burgers and pizza fare or whatever. But this one, the Comida Fresca with the street tacos, and we had chips and guacamole, outstanding. They have quesadillas there as well. Definitely want to check it out. It's in Metuchen, the Whole Foods in Metuchen, and they have great Jersey beer on tap, and you can have yourself a killer margarita as well. Then for Father's Day, had an Allagash Map 40, a stout with a wonderful coffee flavor, nice spice and chocolate too. It was delicious. A low ABV on this one for a stout. So a nice, easy drinking stout. It was really delicious. I enjoyed that very much. And then a beer that we had spotlighted about a month or so ago from Kona Brewing, Gold Cliff IPA. This had come out from Kona back in, I think it was late April, early May. A very pineapple forward IPA, but not overly so. Sometimes brewers get a little too carried away with fruit flavors that they want to hit you in the mouth with it, and they want it to stay with you. I like, you know, fruits in my beers that kind of, they get you, but then kind of back off a little bit, and you kind of ride that smoothness down the line. This one does that as well. A quick bite, smooth going down to the pineapple, very tasty, a little bit juicy. I don't know if this is the Hawaiian take on the juicy IPA, but if it is, it's a very good one. And again, it's not overly so. Like, there are some juicy IPAs that I really enjoy, that I just love the juiciness in it, and I want to just drink over and over again. And Lionel, who we've had as a guest on the Joe Piscopo Show, loves to make fun of the fact that, look, I'm drinking a beer that looks like orange juice. And you know what? He's right. It does look like a glass of orange juice, but it is delicious and refreshing, and it does pack a little bit of a punch. This one does the job without just being so aggressive about it. And, you got to be careful when you're mixing those types of fruits, the pineapples and the oranges and those types of things within the beer, because they could get away from you and be too strong. But this one really hits the mark from Kona. Enjoyed it a lot. Gold Cliff IPA, if you see it in stores right now, get it. Yes, I know it's an AB InBev product, but you know what? It's a really good beer. And, you know, for $8.99 a six-pack, economical as well if you're looking to save a few coins. But, folks, we are out of time. My thanks to Darren Yellen, Jerry Crowley, Phil Boyce, Brett Bullock, the head brewer, owner of Screaming Hill Brewery out of Cream Ridge, New Jersey. Get down to the farm at Bullock Farms. You'll see Screaming Hill Brewery. They're open Friday and Saturday. It is a great place right past Great Adventure, Six Flags Great Adventure. You just go right past the exit. The first right you can make, go past the horse farms. You're going to come up to a cemetery. When you hit the cemetery, make a right-hand turn. The farm is right there. It is gorgeous. And Brett makes fantastic, delicious beer. And, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back Monday on the Joe Piscopo Show at, actually, no, back Tuesday on the Joe Piscopo Show at 6 a.m. I'm actually off on Monday. This has been the Al Cthulhu Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, cheers, everybody.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.